December 8th, 2025. Welcome back to part two of This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series, a Civic Media production in cooperation with WAUK Radio, 540 AM, 101.1 FM. Again, I am your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beloved Banting Park home. Again, it's my honor to have my wonderful producer, the mighty Max Martinson, grabbing the reins tonight from the comfort of his Cream City home near the MATC campus. And joining me again in part two from the other side of our beloved Banting Park, my successor in the Common Council, First District Alderman, the Honorable Mike Krazine. Mike, welcome back.
Continuing from
the first podcast, we were talking about when I was in the council, I would hear some complaints of people didn't feel as the city's business to do event planning. When you think of all the different, you know, the beer gardens and Winter Jamboree and some of the other events. And that seemed like a legitimate concern. But when you look at the job that the city does and the people that they're involved with, I'd say they make a really great effort. So it kills me to say this, but it does beg the question, has there been or should there be a review of what resources the city invests, staff and otherwise, on running these events versus were they to contract with private sector businesses, preferably Waukesha, city Waukesha businesses, so make the economy more circular? Would that be more cost effective when you consider salaries and, you know, benefits? But I know it's, again, it cuts both ways. I'd be interested in, has that ever been discussed?
It has, and as I talked about, and I'm hopeful I get a little more time to talk about this, is
we meet
several times a year. We have several council planning meetings. We have a couple coming up in just where we work with top city administration, Tony Brown, our city administrator, and the other departments he represents. You make up a good point about our city park and rec. We do spend a lot of money on that. I'm not quite sure of the number, but it's a significant amount of our budget. I'll quote, Waukesha County is 8%, but Waukesha County, their parks, they can legally have an entrance fees. We do not have entrance fees, but something right. The city of Waukesha is very blessed with, and through a couple of my volunteer organizations, I volunteer with the volunteers with the city of Waukesha Park and Rec. We have excellent corporate sponsorship. Some things have been talked about. I'm not on the Park and Rec board, but look at up and coming Waukesha Jamboree. Always has excellent, always has, and as far as I'm concerned, always will. Great corporate sponsorship.
Yeah.
Baseball games, soccer games, flyers, t-shirts, signage. It always has local businesses. Some of the business may be a national chain of hospitals or a local chain of hospitals. Most things are right here. I'm not going to name any names, but various medical facilities, various other banks right here in the Waukesha area, and, you know, locally owned business as well. So there is a fee. Obviously, the fee that we charge for our events, our things at the Schutze Center, the Rotary Building, dancing, tumbling, card game playing. There's always something that we just got the book in the mail, and it's I think it's even bigger this year. But there are always talks about reducing. I don't think we can reduce it down to 8% like Waukesha County does. But again,
right.
Alders are talking about cost reduction, cost savings, but what we can't have a cost savings with a reduction of what people want is the quality of services. We have a lot of parks. We have a lot of city buildings. We want to have as many events as possible, but we can't raise the fees too many. Just like there is a non-resident fee, there's a resident fee. So
right.
Fees increase. Again, I'm not on Park and Rec. I don't
sure.
recommend that. My wife and I attend a couple a year.
Nice.
As far as you know, we attend a lot of park and rec things, but as things in the book at the Schutze Center, stuff like that, now that our kids are grown up, almost empty nesters, we don't do as many as we used to. But now we get to do some fun couple stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That's going to lead me to another good question, and now I think I forgot it. Oh, do you think the parks and rec, do they do, because they have spaces that people can rent. Like I was explaining to, I think it was Scott Allen when he first announced he was running for mayor. He invited me for a glass of wine, and I was telling him how the new Buckner Pool has a private space that people can use for an indoor private space that people can use year-round for parties, birthday parties and team parties, whatever that is. And Scott had mentioned that he never knew that was, you know, that was there. And do you think, does the city do a good job of promoting or marketing its event space, you know, as revenue generators?
Well, we just voted to have a concession stand at the expanded soccer fields, and they're hopefully saying with the rented space for the entire year, nights, days, weekends, not just during soccer season. I think they play some lacrosse out there too, but the city events, it's year round. Obviously it's not real active this time of year with the snow everywhere, but
right,
the building, once it's there, will have some things. I attend some things in my volunteer organizations. We will rent that out just for recognition ceremonies, retirement parties, the Schutze Center and the Rotary Building. There is a lot of them. They are a lot more centrally located instead of, you know, going to a hotel and renting out a venue for, you know, 300-400 people. You need a venue for 50 people. The city has that, and you can find that all on the city website. And also in the thing we all just got in the mail, the resource guide, it's in there. So the city does have it on their website, the mailings, and just call up the city staff. They'll talk about it. So as far as advertising, promoting that, I don't think they've necessarily had to, but based on your conversation, it sounds like we could get the word out there even more.
Especially the amount of social media the cities are doing it. If they have permission to capture, say, like my daughter wanted a big Sweet 16 birthday party, our oldest a few years back. It was right before COVID hit. And we had it at the Rotary Building, and it was a really nice event. And, you know, the cost of rent was pretty reasonable. So there was no friends and family discount for aldermen, as hard as I tried.
Right. Same thing with not-for-profits. There is a cost for it because the city does have to come in, clean it.
You can do a good job of that too.
Yeah, but you have to have city staff come in, open the bathrooms, make sure it's clean, turn the lights on, lock it up when it's done, make sure it's ready for the next people. And I mean, look at locations, both Schutze and Rotary, right? Nice park right by a body of water, and you know, there's outside space, there's inside space. So if you want to have something on the outside, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't like the weather, wait five minutes in Wisconsin. Oh, hey, let's move it inside. So it's nice that the city has that available.
Sounds good. What else? The one big question I had, because there's been obviously it's an election season. And I guess it started as early as last spring when State Assemblyman Scott Allen announced his candidacy for mayor. And Scott is, he's a Republican, former city council member. And now, last fall, is she still council president? Your fellow alder, Alicia Halvinson?
Alicia, yes. We both were elected the same time, same day. We're on the same election cycle.
That's right. Yeah. And you're in your second term, correct?
Yes, we both are.
Yeah. So, but Alicia, she announced her candidacy for mayor. And she's somebody that's, she's been, you know, before she was on the council, she's been very active with the Democratic Party of Waukesha County. And so there's really no escaping that or getting away from it. Are you concerned at all that, because the one thing I was really proud to be a part of the council was that it was by law nonpartisan, as was the mayor and the mayoral race. But in this situation, It's kind of hard to get away from that. Like, does that concern you at all that our local politics, our city politics, that we pride ourselves in the nonpartisan tradition, that it is becoming more partisan?
On the alderman side of things, it's we all have things we believe in. And obviously, the more you believe in them, I'm a huge volunteer. And where I work, I'm out there. I'm everywhere. So right. I'm known by those things. So the two people you just mentioned, there are both out there doing some things. Scott mm-hmm. Allen, I'm not in his district, so I.
Yeah, me neither.
He's at every parade. He's at every Friday.
It's very omnipresent, like for sure. That. Yeah.
Yep. And then mm-hmm. Alicia, she's an alder, common council, in her district's downtown, part of her district. So she is everywhere as well. You are known by what you do. I don't really do any social media. That's the only way I would know
right
how these candidates spend their time doing their things. I mean, I see right. them both at Friday Night Live. I mm-hmm. see them at the parade, tree lighting. This is the first one right. I missed in a very long time. Mm-hmm. So on common council wise, I don't really think it affects us because, again, we're still so involved in what's best for our district and what's best for our city. I believe sure. Local races and local school district elections are more important than the national ones. That's where the big yeah. money is spent on yeah. the state side, on the federal side of things.
Right.
But essentially what costs us in our taxes and how our money is being spent and stop signs and our roads and what it costs to do business right. in the city of Waukesha and live here, literally.
Yeah.
We have a business yeah. or we just work here. That is all controlled by your local representatives.
Yep.
And that's where I believe that. I'm not dodging the questions.
No.
Specifically,
making some
how
good
does
points.
It affect on the council side?
Right.
I don't see how it affects on the council side. Alicia and myself, we're both alders. We have to go out and get signatures. Now, she's choosing to run for mayor. That's more signatures.
Yeah.
My signatures, when I go door to door, people mm-hmm. in my district, you know, the first thing they ask is, what are you going to do about property taxes? Well, regardless of who your political affiliation is, you know, they want to know property taxes, garbage. Are you going to fix
yeah.
that? You know, same thing with the school district. It's
yeah.
it matters about, you know, what schools are you going to close? Are you going to fix that? Are you going to put an addition right. on there?
Yeah.
None of that has anything to do with, in my mind, your political affiliation.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And that's what was great about working at the council level.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned now because, you know, we saw it in the school board and we even saw it in this last election where I felt personally there was way too much involvement from the Democratic Party, especially when it came to attacking the reputation of a candidate, if you will.
I've heard you mention that on your show.
Yeah. And from both parties, I've seen yeah. that.
I don't pay attention to social media.
Yeah.
I don't own a TV. I don't watch TV.
Sure.
So I have to hear about it, you know, on the radio, and my dial goes,
yeah,
you know, AM, FM and
yeah.
and satellite radio. Listen to Spotify.
Oh,
most
yeah.
of the time.
Well, there's also print, like postcard, traditional postcard, like direct mail campaigns.
Yeah. That's out there. So. And it's, as an alder, it's up to me how much money I spend. It's up to me how many signs I want to buy. It's
right.
up to me if I want to hire people.
And you've
to go
got budget limitations, which I remember yeah. from my own experience. And
yeah.
I think that's what made it fair.
I'm fortunate that the last two times that I was honored to be elected, I ran unopposed.
Right.
When you told me, hey, Mike, I need you to be, think about running as alder. I think literally
yeah.
I had 10 days and I went,
yeah.
I got to go buy some signs because I didn't know. I thought I could still lose with write-in votes. But,
sure.
You know, I bought $400 worth
oh, yeah.
of signs. And I didn't need them. There's no like, hey, Mike, you should run for alder. This is a list of things you need. I remember the day that I got swore in, you drove over and said, hey, Mike, you're going to need all these things to be an alderman.
Yeah. Yeah, because what was it? You know, when I ran the first time, my predecessor, Terry Thieme, said he wasn't going to run, but because he changed his mind a couple of times, his name remained on the ballot. And I basically lost by 12 absentee votes. I won the in-person election by 6 votes, but it was all because I was too stupid to get, I didn't think I needed signs that I was just going to press the flesh and go to door. And all those things are important, going door to door, using social media. But I remember what Alderman Dan Mannion from the 7th district told me is that signs can't vote for you, but he said, I'd never heard of anyone who's won an election without signs. And right. They really, so when I was eventually appointed, I had to run a year later. And even though I was running unopposed, I went and raised money and I bought 50 signs and I put them all over. Like my daughter was a Banting at the time and people that knew her name, she'd say, you know, is that you on the sign or is that, you know, that guy? And she's like, yeah, it's my dad. And the other thing too, was that there were neighbors that didn't get a sign and they're like, hey, next time I want a sign in my yard. And it really, it also helps build a sense of community. And I know people that agreed to have signs on their yard, they'd talk to their neighbors and their neighbors would want to sign people I didn't have the chance of meeting in my first year. And that does, it does build excitement.
Yeah, it is kind of neat. I obviously, my last name is unusual. There's not many, many of
Christine
in the world. Yeah. It's actually Christine, but even
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, even my mother-in-law says it. And I'm just saying it because that's how my dad said it and my grandma said it. It may be something else.
Yeah.
It could be a Christine in northern Germany and they say it how you say it. But
it does sound, and I apologize. So the whole time I've been calling you, I've been pronouncing it like magazine, you know, my cuisine. Yeah, and it just sounds like it's Christine.
It how my mother-in-law has been saying it the last 30 years. And then when we got married, people were saying, like, doesn't your family even know your last name? It's like, that's how people have been saying it since kindergarten. Hey, the Christine kid, what's he doing over there? What are you
I'm old enough there? To remember. Microfilm and microfiche at the library and I loved using it. And so I just thought you were like a next generation technology for you know, records at the library, the old newspapers that were captured.
Right. Oh my goodness. You know, hours and hours doing research on that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I actually had that resource.
Well, those big machines, you know, you'd go to the room, you'd like flip the thing around. And
when we first started doing that in fourth or fifth grade, I felt like I was a spy or something because all those spy movies, it was like you had 30 seconds to get in to get this.
Yeah.
Your spy photo camera out there and like, where did you get this from? Like, at the library.
Yeah. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because you like the Tom Clancy novels, right? Or the movies that they.
Hmm.
You're probably familiar with the movies, though. I think maybe like Hunger Games, Patriot Games, and Patriot Games, and Hunt for Red October, and it was a whole genre of like naval military intelligence.
Didn't see any of them or read any of them. I'm a motorcycle guy.
But you'd appreciate this. You would appreciate this, though, is that people read his books in the federal government. There was a panic because of all the information he knew.
Mm-hmm.
So the FBI did research on him, or the CIA. And all that information he got was from the Annapolis Public Library. It became declassified public information. And so it was really shows you the power of our libraries. But in the 2 minutes we have left, you know, any special plans for the holidays?
It's just my in-laws are out of state. We're going down there. We take turns.
And where's that?
They're in Tinley Park, southwest suburbs.
I know, it's Chicagoland. Yep.
Yep, they just like
home of the old World Music Theater where I saw the Cranberries years ago. It has a
literally,
new name now, but
literally there.
It's still the world to me.
I'll make it quick. One time I was unloading the car and I'm going, I know this song, and it was driving me nuts. It was Judas Priest was playing just across the freeway. It was like the worst game show ever. It's like, I know that song, but I can't name it because it's on the other side of the freeway. We're going down there. Then some family's going to come up here.
Nice.
Before we get out, I just want to do some things about City of Waukesha. Another reason I ran is Charlie Becker was my alderman. Home I had here, and Charlie would drive around with an old red truck, and people would say, hey, that stoplight's out. Hey, that street light's out. Hey, that fire hydrant needs painting.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie Becker's not driving around his truck anymore, and I don't have an old truck. So City of Waukesha has something neat called Report a Concern. If you're driving through and you see 300 lights on in an industrial park.
Is that through Public Works?
It's just through the city.
Through the main city website. Okay.
If you have someone that hasn't a business or a resident that hasn't, maybe it's an abandoned property that hasn't snowblowed or mowed their lawn, you can still call your alder, but the fastest way is report a concern.
Sounds great.
Waukesha County has something called adopt a drain. I've adopted 8 drains. You actually go out, you name them, you clean the drain out twice a month and tell them how much you've cleaned out. But cleaning your drains, your storm drains on the end of your street is important in wintertime.
Do you get your name on there or a sign for doing that?
You actually get a wand, a flag, and like a thing to glue to it, and you get a vest. But there's a map that you can go on, and I've named the drains I've adopted after family members. So it's kind of funny. You get to name your drain.
Excellent. First District Alderman Mike Crisine, the Honorable Mike Crisine. Thanks so much.
Again, we always run out of time.
I was going to say, well, you know, I've got another opening. My next guest comes on at 9:30. So if you want to stick around for a third one, if you have something to share, it's up to you.
There's always something.
Yeah. Well, you think about it. But in the meantime, I want to thank everyone for listening in. Please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Mental health, good mental health, is everybody's right. Go Ramila Mahagav Goler, and see ya.